What's going on, guys? This is the Solid Monster. It is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, September 14, 2022. The final field is set. The finals of the AEW World Championship Tournament next week in New York City. It will be Jon Moxley one-on-one with Bryan Danielson. A match that we saw earlier this year at Revolution. And honestly, the biggest possible match that they could be doing next week is the match that we are getting for the AEW World title. This was an episode of Dynamite that I thought was very strong. They opened and closed with the two semifinal matches in the tournament. I thought a very good match with Jon Moxley and Sammy Guevara, and an excellent main event with Bryan Danielson and Chris Jericho. I would even say better than the match they had at All Out. I thought this was the better of the two matches. They have taken a terrible situation, which we have already talked about ad nauseum. I'm not going to get into any more of it. They have taken a terrible situation and they have turned it into something positive now with a main event next week that I am excited for. I am looking forward to that main event, and I think New York City is going to show those two men some love in the main event, the love that they deserve, because I think that is going to be a great match. Swerve and Our Glory defending their tag team titles next Wednesday against the Acclaim. Very surprised to see them defend their titles tonight, if only because it was kind of a big match that they gave us against the Lucha Bros, and there was no advanced promotion of it. In the listing of matches for Dynamite tonight, nowhere was it mentioned that we were going to have a tag team championship match with the Lucha Bros, Keith Lee, and Swerve Strickland. So that came out of nowhere. Didn't last nearly long enough. They didn't even give those guys 10 minutes. But those three matches alone make this episode tonight a thumbs-up show. I thought it was a very strong effort. They are making the best of a bad situation, which is really all you can ask for. The investigation is still ongoing. We still have not heard anything definitive about CM Punk, about Kenny Omega, about the Young Bucks. That will come in time, but we actually happen to know where Kenny Omega is. I don't know how many of you noticed this earlier, but Kenny Omega is over in Japan. Take a look at this. Look who Kenny Omega ran into in Japan. Look who he met up with. You know, it looks like he's having the vacation that Jon Moxley was supposed to be on right now. Jon Moxley is not supposed to be wrestling in New York next week. Jon Moxley is supposed to be fishing somewhere with his friend for the next 6 weeks. Kenny Omega, though, he's having a nice vacation over in Japan. Look at these two. Look at these two. The Golden Lovers reunited over in Japan. I hope Kota Ibushi's rehab from the shoulder injury is going well. Last update he gave was not very positive at all. I do miss seeing that guy back in the ring, but there you go. It is the reunion that has been a long time in the making between Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. Hit that subscribe button, please. We are very close to 71,000. In fact, we could be just days away from hitting 71K. We are under 100 subscribers away from 71,000 on the channel. I thank you all for that. Super chats are open. I know we've had a few of them pour on in already. I'm going to be reading them. If you have questions for me, we actually had a lot of fun the other night on the Monday Night Raw stream, just kind of hanging out at the end there with some of your questions. So get those on in. The goal for Be the Booker, if we are going to do the segment later on, is 500 likes. If we hit at least 500 during the live stream, we will do Be the Booker a little bit later on. And one last plug here. This went up for channel members exclusively a few days ago. It is now public for everyone. It is on the channel. I know a lot of you have been enjoying my trials here in these My Rise episodes. You're not going to believe what happened in this one. This one here takes the cake. What happened to me in this episode is ridiculous. And it is Exhibit A about what happens when gossip and lies and rumors are spread about someone in the workplace. You will see the end result of that in the latest installment of Sound Off Gamer. It went public this afternoon, so be sure you go and check that out. This was the second week in a row on Dynamite that we had no Jim Ross. It was Excalibur, Taz, and Tony Schiavone on commentary. I assume they're saving Jim Ross for Rampage. That's what they did last week. So that was noticeable. I'm pretty much indifferent towards it. I have no issue with keeping him off of Dynamite. I think that the announce crew they have is perfectly fine. And honestly, Taz is one of the best they have. So any excuse to get Taz on the show is fine with me. But we open with the first of two semifinal matches in the AEW World Championship Tournament. Jon Moxley, who was supposed to be on vacation this week. One of his friends came out and said they had a fishing trip planned, but I guess that's either been postponed or canceled. Taking on Sammy Guevara. I was really hoping to see Darby Allin in this spot. I just think it would have made for a more interesting match to do Darby Allin against Jon Moxley. But Darby Allin was bounced out of the tournament last week. They wanted to have one member of the Blackpool Combat Club against one member of the Jericho Appreciation Society in each of the semifinal matches, and so this is what we ended up with. Sammy got turned inside out early on a King Kong Lariat, sent Moxley to the floor, landed a pair of dives, and he sent Moxley the back of his head back first into the ring steps, heading into the first break. Sammy hit a double jump cutter for a close near fall, went for the go to hell, but that was countered into a bulldog choke, and Moxley transitioned into the hammer and anvil elbows. Sammy countered with a King Kong Lariat into a Spanish fly for two. Moxley cut him off in the corner with an avalanche German. Here comes Anna Jay. And here comes Ty Mello down to the ring. Anna Jay distracts the referee. Not hard for Anna Jay to distract somebody. She's a beautiful woman. She distracts the... Although, who was the referee in this match? I don't know if it was Aubrey Edwards or one of the men. It's probably one of the men. So Anna Jay is distracting the referee. Ty sneaks up behind Jon Moxley and kicks him low. This is the way they beat Darby Allin last week. So she kicks Moxley low. Sammy rolls him up. Mox kicks out. So it might have worked against Darby Allin. It did not work here against Jon Moxley. Sammy missed the senton as William Regal on commentary asked if he would be canceled for calling Anna and Ty harlots. Well, he asked that very nicely. At least he was very polite and he asked the question first. He was going to be, we will never cancel Mr. Regal. Mr. Regal cannot be, he is uncancelable. Can never cancel Regal. So for the finish, Moxley countered a go to hell into a Death Rider and got the three count. If you go back and watch this finish, I'm not sure. It's just one of these things that annoys me. I'm not sure why Sammy didn't just lift his knee up to complete the move. You know, he threw Moxley over and didn't do anything and then let Moxley hit his finish. I thought that looked kind of goofy, but this was fine and no real surprise to see Jon Moxley go over, especially after the promo segment with MJF the week before. You had to know Moxley was at least going to make it to the finals. There was no way he was losing to Sammy Guevara. So I thought this was solid stuff here. Pretty good stuff in the opener. Speaking of MJF, he was up next. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I see all the activity here. Again, we are already well above 200 likes. We're right around the halfway mark. We're halfway home to 500, so hit that thumbs up. MJF was out next, coming right out of the commercial break. He even cut off his own entrance music as he was walking down to the ring. He said, 7 days. 7 days. He has not slept a wink since they went toe-to-toe in the ring last week, him and Moxley. He saw the look in John's eyes. It was a look of no fear. And that pisses off MJF. He says, is there a podium in this ring? Is there an MJF 2020 sign? He's pointing out that this was some of the segments that we saw back at Daly's Place, if you remember, to build up to their first match that they had on pay-per-view some time ago. He said, no, you don't see any of that. You don't see any signs. You don't see any podiums. Because I'm not the same kid that I was when you and I first met the first time. The difference between the two of us is that I'm not playing a character Jon Moxley is. He says Moxley walks around all tough. He says Moxley is a joke. And he says, you know, I read your book. You can get the audiobook, by the way, using our link on Audible. Just saying, the link is down in the description. It's a great book. Talks about Kevin Dunn, too. Or so I heard that he talks about Kevin Dunn in the book. I don't know. I don't remember offhand what he had to say about Kevin Dunn.
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
Oh, well, there you go. So he's always there to remind me. So he says he read Mox's book. Says it was a good read, especially the part where he talked about his childhood. Because it turns out that Moxley was raised very similarly to the people here in Albany. They were in Albany, New York tonight. It says, uneducated, poor, white trash, scumbag from the sticks. Sounds like the people of Albany. I know a few people like that. He says, John got bullied. He got beat down, got his bike stolen. And when stuff like that happens, it forces men to put on a front. John built a great character. He goes, deep down, Moxley is still that poor, scared little boy from the slums of Cincinnati. The only difference is that now he can drown all of his childhood trauma in alcohol. So they went the cheap route yet again. We've seen MJF do this in promos before. Brings up the fact that he used to down his sorrows in alcohol. But he gives him credit. He says he kicked the habit. He was able to get sober. That takes a lot of intestinal fortitude. He goes, you slayed your demons, but here's the problem. He goes, my brain is far more dangerous than your disease. And he says, this is a message for Chris Jericho. This is a message for Bryan Danielson. And this is a message for Jon Moxley. Bad things happen when people get in MJF's way. So how about Jon takes that vacation he was planning and skips Arthur Ashe next week? He says, when Jon came back from rehab, he told the story about a demon that hung over his head, telling him that all he's earned and he doesn't deserve it and all that kind of stuff. He goes, that demon said that he would take it all away. And he says that I am that demon. And he is a demon that John cannot slay. So he says, now let's get down to business. Young group of gentlemen that helped him procure his poker chip in the casino ladder match. He wants to talk about them. He says, all these men share the same goals. And he introduced the first ever, now this is how he described it, the first ever stable on retainer is how he described it. And it includes his best friend in the whole world, a man that he has known since he was 19 years old. And I've talked about this before. When Stokely Hathaway first came into the company, and then we saw what they did it all out when he helped MJF win the ladder match, I said, these two are tight. These two have been best friends for many years. And he introduces Stokely Hathaway. Out comes Stokely. He's got Ethan Page with him. He's got the Gun Club, Lee Moriarty. He's got Morrissey, the big man, not the musician. Stokely says some time ago, he flew from Orlando to New York City to meet his friend, MJF. He was disenfranchised. He wanted to quit AEW, but they sat down and they prayed and they came up with a logical solution. Everybody that you see in the ring, on retainer. And they support MJF, and tonight is one of the rare occasions that we will see all of these men that you see in the ring, one of the rare times that you will see all of them together in the same place at the same time. When MJF doesn't need them, they will go their separate ways. He admitted, I'm not a publicist, I'm not a manager, damn sure not an assistant. He goes, I'm a friend. I'm a very well-connected friend. And he talked, he says, everything he's done has been a lie, all to infiltrate the system, from kicking it with Britt to watching reruns of Living Single with the House of Black. Now, I'm going to need footage of this immediately. I refuse to believe any of this until I actually see footage of this happening. I need to see it with my own eyes. You know, I think we may have just found out why Malakai Black asked for his release from AEW. I mean, maybe he just wants to sit at home and watch Living Single all day and just be left alone. It's very possible. We just found out the reason why. And it actually brought back a flood of memories for me. I had completely forgotten about that show. I remember In Living Color. So there was In Living Color. There was Martin. You want to go back even further. There was a show called 227. Of course, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Living Single, I completely forgot about that show. So he went down the line. Each man in the ring, he was putting them over, one by one, ending with Ethan Page. And Stokely says that he's known him for over 10 years. He knows what Ethan Page wants. He wants to represent his country of Canada. And he wants to win the All-Atlantic Championship. This dragged on longer than it needed to. And honestly, this was not the best work from MJF or from Stokely Hathaway. We've seen much better from MJF. And even Stokely. The thing with Stokely is, he can talk. He's a great character in that role. Call him an agent, you know, whatever words you want to ascribe to him. This was not their best work. So we go from interim titles to interim stables. Now we have a stable that really isn't a full-time stable. It's an interim group that exists only when MJF needs them. I'm not sure we needed such a long-winded explanation of this whole thing for an interim stable, to be perfectly honest with you. It would have been a lot more succinct for him to come out and just say, look, these are men who haven't been getting a fair shake. We come together for that, you know, with that common bond. They have been shunned. They have been kind of marginalized by the company. And they have come together for one common goal. We are here to assist MJF, who is also someone else who has been overshadowed and marginalized by Tony Khan and AEW. He, too, has something in common with us. When he needs us, we are here. When he doesn't, we'll all go our separate ways and do our own thing. See, I just said that in 20 seconds. This went on for a lot longer than 20 seconds, so I thought it was a little long-winded. And also, you know, I look at that group in the ring and I just think to myself, this is the most random group of misfits that I have ever seen that they have assembled here. You go from Morrissey, you've got Billy Gunn's kids, you've got Lee Moriarty, Ethan Page. Now let's talk about Ethan Page for a second. First of all, if you watched the show tonight, did you hear the pop that Ethan Page's name got when his name got mentioned more than anybody else in the ring? He got an audible reaction from the crowd, and for a moment there, I had to remind myself, like, where are they tonight? I thought maybe they were in his hometown. And then I realized he's not from Albany. It sounded like he got a hometown reaction, but it wasn't. It was just people reacted to him. And him being part of this group, I mean, temporary as it may be, and I said this on Twitter, I'm not sure that he really traded up by trading in one group for another. You know, he was hanging around with Dan Lambert and Scorpio Sky, and then that just kind of fizzled away, and he traded that group, which was really nothing special, for another group. It's just sort of a lateral move. I don't see how this really benefits him. The fact that it's a temporary stable and they're not meant to be together all the time hopefully means that he will do more stuff on his own. He doesn't need a mouthpiece. Every single person in that ring, of all the men that were standing behind Stokely Hathaway in this segment, the one guy who needs Stokely the least is Ethan Page. He does not need a mouthpiece. He can talk. He's got charisma. He can work. And apparently, he's going to be going after the All-Atlantic Championship, not next week. That's going to Orange Cassidy. But he stated his mission that he wants to go after the All-Atlantic title, and he may win it. He may well end up winning the title, but it's not going to matter if he wins the All-Atlantic title and he's not pushed. Case in point, Wardlow. So when I talk about tonight's show being a very strong show, there were some notable omissions from the show tonight. One of those omissions was the TNT champion. The other omission were the AAA and Ring of Honor tag team champions, FTR. No Wardlow, no FTR. Some of the hottest acts on the entire show. You're heading into Arthur Ashe Stadium, one of the biggest shows of the year, in New York City, next week. There's nothing announced for Wardlow. There's nothing announced for FTR. I mean, that's a miss by Tony Khan. Now, they may end up on the show anyway. They may announce stuff on social media during the week, but they set nothing up for those men on the show next week. And they're another example of, you can have a hot act, you can put a title on somebody like they've done with Wardlow, but you need to push them, you need to focus on them, you need to get them exposure on the show, get them in a program, give them something to do. We saw Powerhouse Hobbs on this show tonight. He got interrupted by Ricky Starks. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. It sounded, I almost thought he was on the cusp of laying down the gauntlet to Wardlow. That's the direction I've been pitching. I think that you could get something out of him and Wardlow in a program. They didn't set anything up next week for FTR or for Wardlow, so I'm not really sure what they're thinking on that. But whatever they're going to do with Ethan Page, the key is to push him. He's one of those, you know, younger talents who, you know, he's not in a main event level position. He's not looked at as a pillar of the company in the way that MJF is or Darby Allin or even somebody like a Ricky Starks might in the eyes of some, but he's somebody who I'd like to see more of. He's somebody who I think needs to get more shine on television. Speaking of pillars, Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy is a name that I did not mention. Sabian. See, Sabian's emoji game in the chat is on point. He's a channel member. He gets the Solomonster emoji, and that right there is a proper usage of my head, of my face. That is my reaction to FTR's booking right now in AEW. So Jungle Boy issued an open challenge earlier in the day, and it was accepted earlier in the day by Jay Lethal. Christian Cage is gone for many months. Apparently, it's a serious enough injury. He's going to be gone for a while. I don't know if it's a torn triceps or it's one of those injuries that's going to keep him out for at least 6 months. So we're not going to see Christian in the ring for a while. They've got to come up with something for Jungle Boy to do, especially if they want to kill time before he gets to the dinosaur. They've got to find something for him to do, hence the open challenge gimmick. I don't know if this was a one-week thing or if they're going to keep the open challenge going, but that's what they came up with for him this week. Satnam Singh stopped Jungle Boy from landing a dive through the ropes. Lethal landed a side slam backbreaker straight. They were on top, and he just picked him up for a side slam while on the top rope. Or he was on the middle rope, but dropped Jungle Boy down, just straight down on top of the top turnbuckle. So it looked great. And Jungle Boy fell out to the floor. Lethal focused on Jungle Boy's lower back during the commercial break. Lethal injection attempt, but Jungle Boy was able to foil it. He landed a brainbuster for a near fall. Lethal placed Jungle Boy on the top rope and hit an avalanche back suplex. He set up for the lethal injection for a second time, but Jungle Boy escaped, went for a kill switch. Lethal escaped and landed a lethal combination. He dumped Jungle Boy to the floor, hit a suicide dive. Back inside, Lethal got pulled into the snare trap. Sanjay Dutt distracted the referee. That caused Jungle Boy to release the hold and attack him, but he reapplied the snare trap, and eventually he got the submission win. He got the tap out from Jay Lethal. They need to find ways to keep Jungle Boy strong. If they're going to set him up for a match against Luchasaurus, then he needs to win. They've got to put him in the ring. Jay Lethal, he's got cred, right? He's a guy that beating him might mean something. It means more than it would if he just went in there and beat some random scrub. So giving him, you know, feeding him wins and keeping him strong is something they're going to have to find ways to do. If they're going to kill time until Christian comes back, it's going to be a while. I don't know how long they want to push off the match with Luchasaurus. They might want to wait to do that until they get closer to Christian being able to come back. It's a long time. So they're going to have to find ways to keep him strong. Tonight was one of those ways. We got a vignette. A training video showing Hook with Action Bronson training for their Rampage Grand Slam match next week. It's going to be on Friday, not on Wednesday. Two of them are going to be taking on Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. Backstage, Alex Marvez introduced Luigi Primo. Now, I heard about this guy, and I saw a very brief clip, and I lost interest in 5 seconds and turned it off. So I don't know if there's more to it than just him flipping pizza dough in the air. It's one of these goofy indie gimmicks that's fun for about 5 seconds. So they decided, oh, this is such a fun gimmick, we'll put him on TV. I assume he must have wrestled on Dark. Maybe he had a Dark match before the show. I would certainly hope that he didn't travel in just for the 2 seconds of airtime that he got on this show. Literally, Marvez introduces Luigi Primo. We see him on screen for 2 seconds. He's doing his pizza dough flipping gimmick, immediately gets super kicked by Ethan Page. And Ethan Page says that, and that this was a tie-in because they're going to be in New York City next week, and New York City is known for its pizza. I can vouch, when I used to eat pizza, the pizza in New York is very good. Pizza in New York is very good. Now, I've had friends tell me that, oh, Chicago deep dish is real pizza. New York pizza can't compare. I think they're full of shit. But I also have not had Chicago deep dish. I think I had it once. It's been many, many years. Many, many years since I had that. So, and actually, I'm not even sure where I would have had it, but it was a long time ago. Nothing can compare to New York pizza. New York pizza, New York bagels, New York pretzels, the hot pretzels from the cart. There's no competition. Not even close. So Luigi Primo gets super kicked. Ethan Page says that apparently he's the only one taking things seriously around here. Danhausen shows up. That led to Ethan Page challenging him to a match on Rampage this Friday. Danhausen, he didn't really seem to understand what just happened. He didn't really seem to understand that he had just accepted that challenge. Danhausen, it's fascinating because he always gets a reaction. Always. And the people who dislike Orange Cassidy probably hate Danhausen for the same reason. Always gets a reaction. As soon as they mention his name or he pops up in a backstage vignette, the place goes nuts. No matter where they are, no matter what city they're in. So the people love Danhausen. I thought this was a stupid segment. I thought that this segment was very dumb. Very dumb. And now, of course, the pizza discussion is underway in the live chat. I knew that would stimulate some discussion here. It always does. People take their pizza very seriously. Again, I don't eat it anymore, so I don't really give a shit. You're not offending me one way or the other. We had a Darby Allin video that was shown. He was doing the Nitro Circus. If you're not familiar with the Nitro Circus, see, this popped me. This popped me because I was actually working on some publicity for this event. This event that they showed Darby Allin at was at a minor league baseball stadium here in Brooklyn. It was out in Coney Island. TNA used to run shows there. Ring of Honor used to run shows at the stadium there for many summers. So they have this thing called the Nitro Circus. They travel the country, and it's a bunch of really kind of extreme athletes, BMX, bike riders, and just people who do wacky, crazy stunts, right? So it's perfect for someone like Darby Allin. And they showed highlights of him doing some stupid shit. So yes, Darby Allin was in Brooklyn last weekend at the Nitro Circus. After they showed footage of this event, we cut to a Matt Hardy promo. We have not seen Matt Hardy on Dynamite. I don't even remember the last time we saw Matt Hardy on Dynamite. Here's Matt Hardy, and he's complimenting Darby Allin, and this he puts him over, and he mentioned, you know, the match that he had with his brother Jeff, and even he and Darby, they've worked together, they've been partners, and they've been rivals, and he respects him, and this led to a challenge for Rampage this Friday. Completely random, just out of nowhere. Totally random. So I guess Matt Hardy is going to be coming back to TV, because when his brother went away, so too did Matt Hardy. It's kind of the story of his career in many ways. Except when he really struck gold with the Broken Matt stuff in TNA. And that really, to me, is where he separated himself from his brother and took off. I don't know that he's going to recapture that here in AEW, but he'll be in action on Rampage this Friday. Powerhouse Hobbs, one-on-one with Matt DiMartino. This lasted all of 20 seconds. We had a corner splash, Hobbs hit the spine buster, and that was that. He didn't even break a sweat. He took the microphone, he had something to say. Then he said that it all out, he beat Ricky Starks, and he acknowledged it was tough, but it only took 4 minutes and 35 seconds for him to beat Ricky Starks. He called that chapter now closed, and said that it was time to open a new chapter in the Book of Hobbs. All of a sudden, the spotlight shows Ricky Starks in the crowd, slowly walking down the steps on his way to the ring, and he gets into the ring, and he charges at Hobbs, and ends up hitting him in the head with a microphone, sends him packing. Somewhere in here, Hobbs got, I think, his lip busted open. He was bleeding from the mouth. I think that was the only blood we had on the entire show tonight, now that I think about it. That was actually maybe the most surprising thing of the night. Was that the only blood that we had on the show tonight? I think it was. Even Jon Moxley wrestled on the show tonight. And Bryan Danielson. He loves to bleed. That was one of the reasons he even came to AEW in the first place. He told Vince McMahon, "I want to bleed." Vince says, "Well, I can't help you there." No blood, except from Hobbs's mouth. It's true. They had 4 minutes and 35 seconds for a match at All Out. It was ridiculous. The only reason they had 4 minutes and 35 seconds is because some of the matches, by Tony Khan's own admission, got cut for time because they put so many matches, they stuffed so many matches onto that card, some matches are going to get cut for time. Their match was one of the matches that got sacrificed. So I hope when we get the rematch between these two, they get a lot more than 4 minutes and 35 seconds. We had the Lucha Bros, two-thirds of the trio's champions, taking on Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, unannounced for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Penta, by the way, coming back to House of Glory Saturday, September 24th. Penta is coming back for our show Genesis. Always exciting to have Penta in the house in New York. This was unexpected, given that they're defending their tag team titles next week against the Acclaimed. The fact that they would not just have them defend them this week, but put them together with the Lucha Bros, I mean, that's a pretty big marquee match. And again, they just threw it out there completely unannounced and didn't even give these four guys 10 minutes. So this was like a warm-up match for Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. I would not be treating Penta and Rey Fénix like a warm-up act. So it was surprising for them to just kind of throw it out there like that. Swerve avoided and attempted a Fear Factor and made a tag to Keith Lee. And he used his power to take down both Penta and Rey Fénix. Lee and Swerve set up for the Swerve Stomp. Penta broke it up with kicks. Fénix landed a ridiculous top rope Spanish fly on Swerve Strickland. And as soon as he landed the move, Penta was setting up for a Canadian Destroyer to Keith Lee. Keith Lee is a giant man. Keith Lee is every bit of 350 pounds. And he took a Canadian Destroyer from Penta. And it looked great. He landed, it looked like he landed right on top of his head. That's how you want to make it look. You want to make it look good. It looked like he spiked this fucker right on the top of his head. All four men were down. The crowd gave them a standing ovation. So that's one of those wow moments that you don't forget so quickly. It's not often you see a man the size of Keith Lee taking a move like that. For the finish, Swerve shoved Fénix off the top rope to the floor. Keith Lee hit the fireman's carry into a power slam for the win. Again, they only went 8 minutes, but it was an action-packed 8 minutes, as pretty much every Lucha Bros match is. After the match, the Acclaimed made their entrance. Max Caster cut off his own music tonight. There was no rap. He's saving his rap, I think, for New York next week. There was no rap tonight. He spoke in his normal voice. And he said that Swerve, he told him to keep nut-hugging every celebrity that he comes in contact with, every celebrity that he knows. And he says, roll Keith Lee into Arthur Ashe next week so they can be beaten by the uncrowned AEW Tag Team Champions. It would be, to say the least, it would be a misfire if Tony Khan does not put those titles on the Acclaimed next week. I really don't expect any other outcome to that match. Alex Marvez was in the back. You know, Alex, let me talk about Alex for a second. Alex seems like a nice guy. Alex Marvez has been around for a long time. I mean, he was writing newspaper articles down in Florida, wrestling articles, I mean, going back decades. So Alex Marvez is a name who is hardly new. And he's been associated in some way with wrestling, yeah, maybe not directly with a promotion, but he's been writing about it and talking about it for a long time. And I remember when AEW first started and they tried him out as an announcer. If you remember, they had him on commentary and he was awful. He was terrible. So they had enough smarts to kind of move him into a different position, and they've had him doing the occasional backstage interview. And now it's 3 years later, and he still feels very awkward in these segments as an interviewer. Just, I don't know that he's really meant to do that. It just, you know, they have other people who will do the backstage stuff. They have, you know, some of the women will do it. Even Alex, you know, who now, Alex Abrahantes, the other Alex, not Marvez. They had him doing that for a while. He seems to be more naturally inclined to that kind of role. Marvez just still comes off as very, very awkward to me. But he was in the back trying to get a word with the Lucha Bros after their loss, and they didn't have any interest in talking. They were walking off. But Pac took exception to Marvez calling their loss a bump in the road. And he reminded Marvez that they are the Trios champions, and that he is the first ever All-Atlantic champion. Told him to put some respect on the name. All of a sudden, here comes Orange Cassidy with an orange punch from out of nowhere. And knocks out Pac. Pac is down on the ground. Cassidy leans down. He says, call yourself a double-double champion, but not for long. Teasing a future championship match, which we found out later on is going to take place at Arthur Ashe next week. We had Tony Storm and Athena teaming up to take on Dr. Britt Baker and Serena Deeb. Taylor in the chat says, Todd Pettengill will show them how to do it. I'll tell you what, Todd, yeah, Todd was great. He may have been corny as shit, but Todd was actually great in that role. So, you know, he was tailor-made to be that kind of person, like a host or an announcer. You know, he did a lot of the backstage interviews in WWE. He was very good in that role. Some people are more naturally inclined for that than others. Others are just, they're not comfortable or they're awkward. I know because I've been there before. You know, it could be nerve-wracking. But Alex now has been in this role for 3 years, and it just doesn't seem like he's any better off than he was on day one. So this was originally supposed to be Tony Storm and Hikaru Shida tagging up, but Shida got taken out on Dark. So Athena was the substitute. Serena Deeb was tagging with Britt Baker because after what happened at All Out, Jamie Hayter made it very clear that she didn't want to have anything to do with Britt Baker. Now, Tony Storm said at the media scrum, which was completely lost in all the noise, something else happened at the media scrum. I don't remember what. But it kind of took the attention away from all the other people who came in and spoke. One of the things that Tony Storm mentioned is that she would love to work with Serena Deeb. Well, she had her chance tonight. In fact, the two of them started this match out together. They worked to a stalemate. Baker caused a distraction from the apron that allowed Serena to finally take control with a chop block from behind. Baker and Deeb, they controlled the action during the break. Athena tagged out to Storm after landing at Enziguri. Storm sent Deeb to the floor, set up for a hip attack on Britt. She rolled out to the floor. Tony Storm followed and hit a swinging DDT on the floor. Serena and Athena, they both tagged in. Deeb caught Athena flying in from the top rope. So as she was coming down, she just grabbed her and pulled her into an armbar submission. Athena powered out of it, landed a meteora before tagging back out to Tony Storm. Baker kicked Athena and Storm and then sent Athena into the ring steps outside. After a referee distraction by Rebel, Deeb shoved Storm into a chair that Britt Baker was holding up in the corner. I don't know if it was wedged in the corner. I think she was holding it. But the referee didn't see it. She went headfirst into the chair. Serena rolled up the champion for the win. After the match, Britt Baker went to attack Tony Storm with the chair, but here comes Jamie Hayter. She runs down to the ring, and as Britt has the chair raised above her hand, Jamie pulls the chair out of her hand, and I said, oh, no. Oh, no, please tell me this is not a swerve, and they're not going to hug, and they're not going to laugh. So she did tease that she was going to hit Britt with the chair, and then she didn't, and she hit Tony Storm with it instead. But then she yelled at Britt as she walked off. So this was not a swerve. This was not a ha-ha, they were in on it all along. She did hit Tony Storm, but she made it very clear here she's still not friends anymore with Britt Baker, and Britt was trying to get her to come back and say, I apologized. And Jamie was having none of it, and she walked to the back. And she still hasn't forgiven her for what she did in the four-way at All Out. So we're going to get another four-way for the championship coming up next week. They love their four-ways. I'm starting to wonder, is this a four-way championship? Is that like the new rule for the interim women's title? Is it a four-way title now? Because we're getting another one next week. They ended the show the same way they opened it. with a semifinal match in the AEW World Title Tournament. This was a rematch from All Out. Chris Jericho one-on-one against Bryan Danielson. The announcers pointed out that Danielson has never beaten Jericho in his entire career, which basically gave away the finish. If they're going out of their way to mention that, and Danielson already lost the first match, it was pretty much a given who was going to go over here. It was all Danielson in the opening. Jericho got the advantage finally with that springboard dropkick that he does. He sent Danielson off the apron down to the floor, and then Jericho dove out onto him. Back in the ring, they collided in midair off the ropes. We got a double down heading into the final ad break of the night. We come back, and they're both on top. And we have a top rope Hurricanrana from Chris Jericho. How old is Jericho? Is he 50 or 51? 50 or 51. Still doing top rope Hurricanranas. Whatever you may think of Jericho, that's very impressive. Danielson got a German suplex and then applied the cattle mutilation. Jericho maneuvered into a seated position. Danielson, though, fed him the hammer elbows. Jericho countered out of it into elbows of his own, but Danielson completely no-sold them. Jericho, I mean, there were weak-looking elbows that Jericho was doing, and Danielson just was looking straight ahead, wasn't selling it at all, slowly rose to his feet. He just ate those elbows to no effect. So they exchanged chops. Jericho got a code breaker. Danielson then stumbled backwards into the corner, but came firing out of the corner with the running knee strike. Both men were down. Jericho rolled out to the apron, and they exchanged more chops. Jericho suplexed him out to the floor, and Bryan sold it like he may have twisted his ankle or broken his ankle on the way down. He's clutching at his ankle. He's untying his boot and pulling it off. Jericho sees this, and he gets all wide-eyed because now he sees an opening here in this match, and he goes after Danielson. He attacks the injured foot. Slams the foot against the ring post. Then he applies the figure four, Bret Hart style, wrapped around the ring post. Aubrey counted him, he counted Jericho to four before he let go of the hold. If it's a Chris Jericho match, you know you're going to have Aubrey Edwards as the referee. She is his designated referee for pretty much all of his matches. Back in the ring, Jericho applied the Walls of Jericho and then a half crab. Danielson tried to crawl to the ropes. He was almost there, but Jericho dragged him back to the center of the ring. He decided to apply. Now, at first, I didn't know. I thought maybe he was trying the figure four, and he kept fucking it up. He tried three different times. And then Excalibur covered for him, but now maybe he was supposed to. He was doing a spinning toe hold. Danielson kicked out of it, and Jericho went forward and went headfirst into the turnbuckle. But Jericho came back. He did get, finally, a figure four leg lock applied. Danielson was able to transition out of it, though, into the lapel lock. Jericho teased that he might tap out. He teased it, and he teased it, and Bryan was wrenching back, and then finally Jericho had no choice but to tap out. And so Bryan Danielson is going to New York next week. We are going to have two members, the top two members of the Blackpool Combat Club, going one-on-one in the finals of the AEW World Championship Tournament. An excellent main event, even better than their all-out match, I thought. And that was also a very good match. This was better. Moxley walked down to the ring after it was over. He went face-to-face in the middle of the ring with Danielson. And finally, they shook hands at the very end. But as these two are having their stare down in the middle of the ring at the end of the show, we got the money shot, and I don't know how they didn't take this sign away from this guy, because I'm sure they didn't want this on camera. He had it with him for, I think, the entire show. How he still held on to it at the very end and was able to get it in this position, I have no idea. Credit to him, though. I mean, hey, I'm not for, sign censorship unless it's something really, you know, offensive or just profane to a ridiculous degree or anything like that. That's funny. We had somebody I mentioned on the stream on Monday, Paul Hamilton. Shout out to the Portland pop star, wherever he may be. And shout out to MizFan. MizFan 2598 just became a Sound Off legend. MizFan, you are a legend. But Paul Hamilton was at Raw in Portland on Monday night, and he had these two signs that he was bringing with him representing the Sound Off. he didn't even get into the building with it, and they took it away from him. And then I'm watching the end of the show tonight, and I see this fucking guy right there in the front row. And you know it had to kill the guys in the truck, because what are you going to do, right? You got to keep the camera on Moxley and Danielson. This is what you want. You want the stare down shot. And then this guy in the middle with the giant sign, CM Punk owns the Bucks. I'm sure AEW wasn't exactly thrilled, but hey, credit to him. You could not have gotten that sign in a better spot. I want to see Danielson win the title next week. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Bryan Danielson walk out with the championship. Let Jon Moxley go take his vacation. Let him take his 4 weeks or 6 weeks off, whatever it is, because he's earned it. But I'm torn on whether MJF cashes in his poker chip next week and leaves New York as the AEW World Champion, or do they hold off until Full Gear in November? Because last week I was of the mind that MJF is probably going to leave New York with that title. Now I'm not so sure. Because is there a reason for them to rush it? You know, they could put the title on him next week and then have Danielson chase him and challenge him for it at the next pay-per-view. But would it not be better maybe for him to kind of take his time and tease it out and get more television out of it to build to the moment and then do it in November and have him win the championship there? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it would be a big moment if Danielson wins the title next week to close out the show, his first AEW World title, but they may want to go for the big moment in New York and have MJF, a New York native, you know, walk out with that title. So honestly, I could see it go either way, but I would like to see Bryan Danielson get the win in this tournament. And what a year that would wrap up for him. The last time we saw him at Arthur Ashe Stadium was his very first match in an AEW ring. I believe it was his very first match, and it was against Kenny Omega, right? That was at the last Arthur Ashe show. They had almost 20,000 people in the building. And here now, he may walk out of there as the AEW World Champion. Rampage on Friday has Samoa Joe defending his Ring of Honor television title against Josh Woods. So many titles in this company. I mean, I keep saying it, but my God. When everybody has a title, what does it really mean? You know what I mean? I mean, everybody's got a belt. Everybody's got a title. Everybody's got a title. What does it really mean? So he's going to defend the TV title against Josh Woods. Ethan Page takes on Danhausen. Penelope Ford takes on Willow Nightingale. Darby Allin goes one-on-one with Matt Hardy. Grand Slam next week has the finals of the World Title Tournament. Moxley versus Danielson. We have the Acclaimed challenging for the tag team titles against Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. Interim women's title will be defended in a four-way. Tony Storm, Athena, Britt Baker, and Serena Deeb. And Pac will defend the All-Atlantic Championship against Orange Cassidy. Yeah, I mentioned the Grand Slam show last year had almost 20,000. I think the actual number was like 18 or 19,000 people. That was the very first time they were wrestling at all was in that building. And it was their very first foray into New York City. And the first time you go anywhere is when people are going to be most excited, right? And there's the novelty of it. So you would expect, if not a sellout crowd, a near sellout crowd. That's what they had last year. For the number of tickets they opened up, they basically sold out or just about sold out their ticket allotment. That is not the case this time. Per WrestleTix, they are set up for 14,000. Next week, and there are still 3,000 tickets that are open. So if you want to go to Arthur Ashe Stadium, there are tickets. You can go to the show. I don't know where those tickets are going to be. I don't know how close to the ring they're going to be, but there are plenty of tickets left. They have about 11,000 and change so far out for the show. But you had to expect there to be some kind of fall off. That's a pretty big fall off, though. I mean, to go from nearly 20,000, I mean, that's almost 10,000 less. So, you know, 11,000, and maybe by the time we get to the show next week, it'll be closer to 12 or 13. That's a very healthy number. You know, AEW doesn't pull that every week. Most weeks, like tonight, they're running these smaller venues, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 fans. But that is a big drop-off from last year's show. Now, programming note, there will be no live stream next Wednesday. I'm live every Wednesday here on this channel. There will be no live stream next Wednesday because I will be at Grand Slam. I'm going to be at Arthur Ashe. I've never been to Arthur Ashe Stadium before. I know it's hard to believe. I've never been to a tennis match in that building before. I know you know me to be a big tennis aficionado. But no, I have not been there before, so I've been to Citi Field. Although I wouldn't want to be at Citi Field tonight, the way the Mets have been playing. But Citi Field is right there. I've not been to Arthur Ashe. So that will be my first event there and my first AEW show in a few years. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Horsemen. Some of my good friends, if you've been a longtime Sound Off listener, you've heard the names Webmaster Mike and Noah Mark, or Noah the Mark, Brian Blade. I haven't seen these guys in person in forever with all this pandemic shit. So it'll be nice to hang out with them and see them next week. But that is where I will be. And then I think they're taping the two-hour Rampage, because Rampage, I believe, is 2 hours next week. So I have no idea when I'm going to get home. So the plan is I will go live on Thursday. We will do a Dynamite review. It'll be my live perspective. So it's not just reviewing Dynamite, but what it was like to be there live. We'll do that next Thursday. So we're just going to push the stream back by 24 hours for 1 week. I will let you guys know what time. I'm not going to go live at 10. It'll be earlier, probably like 8 Eastern. So mark that down on your calendar. Next Thursday around 8 o'clock, we'll go live on YouTube for the Dynamite review. Here's the Twitter poll for tonight's show. 64% thumbs up for tonight's show, 24% thumbs in the middle, and 12% thumbs down. I would have got a little bit higher, probably a little bit higher on the thumbs up, maybe like around 70-ish. I thought it was a pretty good show tonight, you know, especially the key matches, the tag match, the two tournament matches. I thought they all delivered. The show was a little bit more focused. So, but anyway, you want to go vote, that is the place to go, at Solomonster on Twitter. And I also want to mention this as well. For those who may have missed it, I had fun earlier today. We did a roundtable on the Up NXT podcast, which is hosted on the Post Wrestling feed. So shout out to John Pollock and Wei Ting. Post Wrestling, the Up NXT podcast was myself. It was Denise Salcido. We were the guests, just talking about 1 year of NXT 2.0. And what appears to be the demise of 2.0, based on what happened at the end of NXT last night. So if you missed it, the audio is on all the usual platforms, but the video is up. You can catch the video. Just type in the Up NXT podcast on YouTube, and you'll be able to link to it if you go to my Twitter, too. So go ahead and go check that out. Had a good time, and we talked some NXT. Don't have a lot of people talking NXT these days. Maybe they will now that they're teasing changes. Maybe Triple H sees that he has to make a change of some kind, and we'll see where they go with that.
A word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I know we have a lot of sports fans who listen to this show. The NFL season is underway. Postseason baseball is almost here. The less said about the Mets right now, the better. We've got the U.S. Open, all these things going on. More and more athletes are speaking out about the importance of mental health. But you don't need to be a pro athlete to take care of your mental well-being. Therapy is one of the best ways to stay in peak mental shape. I got an email from a listener recently. He's a military man. I read it on the podcast last week, thanking me for telling him about BetterHelp and how quickly he was able to connect to a therapist. He took that first step to address his mental health. And I want you to consider doing the same. I've used their service as well, and it was even easier than I expected. I got some great advice about my sleeping habits and was sleeping better than I have in a very long time. At least until this week, with all of this news keeping me up into the wee hours. But it could also help you unload stress or deal with anxiety and depression. It's convenient. It's affordable. It's entirely online. You don't have to travel anywhere. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option to consider. When you're ready to feel at the top of your mental health game, therapy can help get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/solomonster.
Let's take a look at your super chats, because I know you guys got questions, you guys got comments, you're a chatty bunch. You're a chatty bunch, you're a bratty bunch. I love you anyway. Let's see. Who got the first word tonight? Spicy, of course, our boy Spicy. Spicy Dry Chicken. Says that he did not watch Dynamite tonight. Now, mind you, he sent this in before Dynamite even started. So he preemptively said, I did not watch Dynamite tonight. The interest level for me feels pretty low going into Grand Slam. The interest level is not, I mean, look, the excitement level is not what it was for the first show a year ago. I agree. But the card next week is looking pretty good. It's just there's some omissions from the card that I just don't understand. How do you not have something set up for Wardlow? First timer, four top women in AEW working and the crowd didn't care. Hopefully they'll care next week. KD, whoa, look at this, KD, dropping $50. Says, I said this 8 months ago with trios titles and tag titles in the same company. You have three guys, and they win the trios, they lose it, so lose one guy, and they challenge for the tag titles and vice versa. The formula diminishes both titles. It makes no sense. Well, I what made less sense to me was not bothering to announce that match in advance. That's a big enough match that should have been built up. I don't understand how you throw that match out there and give them 8 fucking minutes. So I would tend to agree on that. You know, and this is coming off the week that they won the Trios belts. So why, 1 week after they won the Trios titles, would you take 2/3 of the Trios champions and job them out in essentially what was a warm-up match to the tag team champions? You couldn't put somebody else in that spot? They have other good teams in this company. I know they're missing a few. I know they're missing a few at the moment. And you're not going to put FTR in there and job them out, but I don't really understand the decision to throw that out there tonight the way they did. But hey, KD, thank you, man. That's awesome. I appreciate that. And like Steve Mello says in the chat, shout out to Steve for all of his hard work. Smash that like button. Where are we at on the likes? London Steven, $9.99. I don't know if you watch basketball. I don't. But I've been thinking that Swerve and Lee give a strong Shaq and Kobe dynamic. Your thoughts. Also, I love the sound off for every Sunday for years. Thank you. Well, thank you, London. I like hearing that. Shaq and Kobe. Oh, I thought you meant like watch basketball right now, like today. I don't. But Shaq and Kobe. I don't know about Shaq and Kobe. I mean, that's... I mean, Lee and Swerve, they're a good team, but Shaq and Kobe, I think that's a little strong. Shinakuma, Wardlow is not the same. Shame. I agree. You're absolutely right. He's not. Bernard Frederick, Bryan Danielson is so good in the ring, he really needs to win the AEW championship. He is the best in the business. I would like to see him walk out with the title next week. I would indeed like to see that. So I'm being told that we have hit the 500 mark.
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
Yes. Even Moxley is excited about that. So there will be a Be the Booker a little bit later on. You guys did it. You smashed the goal. I knew you would. Frank Aquilino. I loved when you live streamed the whole Intercontinental title tournament from Rio de Janeiro. Great match-by-match analysis. I think that's some of the best analysis that I've done on any podcast that I've ever produced. It was an incredible tournament. It really was. And Pat Patterson, you know, he bled in that main event. I mean, he lost so much blood literally in the middle of the match. They had to wheel one of those poles, like the hospital poles, down to the ring with an IV bag, and they hooked it up to his arm. You know, they paused the match. But they had to, you know, give him fluids and whatever. And then the match resumed and he won. And it's just this great story. And anyway, that podcast is... It was taken down by YouTube. There was something that they didn't like about it, but I don't know if they'll ever put it back up. But yes, some of the best match analysis I've ever done for that tournament. Sean R., $20 super chat. Hey, Salamanzer, I was curious about something during the 2001 Invasion storyline. Jericho on Team WWF felt out of place. He did not seem like a main event guy. Was that supposed to be Triple H's spot if he did not get injured? Yes. Yes. Triple H would have been on Team WWF. Absolutely. Now, would he have been the mole instead of Kurt Angle? We'll never know. But I'm almost positive that spot would have gone to Triple H. Justin Jack. Hey, Salamanzer, I did not watch the show. Good night. Well, good night, Justin Jack. Short and to the point. Rizzo, did you see Dream's response to EC3? If true, I'm sure Tony Khan will sign that EC3 tomorrow. I will show myself out. If true, I'm sure Tony Khan will sign... Oh, I know. Okay. The cocaine joke. It took me a few seconds. I'm a little slow right now. I'm a little tired. But yes, the cocaine joke. Yes, I did see that, by the way. Alvin Jones, happy Wednesday to everyone. Happy Wednesday, Alvin. Thank you for the $4. Rodimus Prime, buy or sell, the biggest failure in wrestling today, Teddy Hart or the Velveteen Dream? Well, I'd say Velveteen Dream, just because in wrestling today, Teddy Hart is no longer relevant. I guess Velveteen Dream isn't really relevant either, except that he's been in the news of late. He's been keeping himself busy, has the Velveteen Dream. The one thing they have in common, two enormous wastes of talent. Temujin Zephyr, very interesting. Danielson and Moxley once were fighting to see if they would team up. Now they have come back full circle to crown a new AEW World Champion. Rizzo. Piggybacking off of Rodimus Prime, bigger waste of talent, Dream or Tessa Blanchard? Velveteen Dream. Anti-M Bishop, hey Salamanzer, good dynamite tonight. Ethan Page gets segment of the night for me. Rest in peace, PNB Rock. As for PWI 500, a bunch of flim-flam and balderdash. It's balderdash, by the way. Not balderdash, it's balderdash. Like suffer and succotash. Yeah, we'll talk about the PWI 500 on Sunday. It's always fun watching people get their panties in a bunch when it comes to this. There is one glaring omission. Actually, there's two. But there was one glaring omission. And whether it's a worked list or not, a glaring omission from not only the top 10, but the top 20 on this list. Absolutely a miscarriage of justice. We'll talk about that on Sunday. Temujin Zephyr, Salamanzer, what is your strategy for PAC? My strategy for PAC? PAC is a double champion in the company. My strategy? You know what? Orange Cassidy is over. And I think that there's a very good chance that we will have a new All-Atlantic champion next week. He is over. He has not yet won a title in this company. I think this could be his moment next week. But as far as strategy, I mean, look, they were doing nothing with him, and now he's got two titles. I'd say just kind of stay the course. He's doing a lot better now than he was a few months ago. Get him more television time. That's my strategy. Find your way on television. Get him more reps on TV. I'd like to see Pac on television more often. Marcus the Entertainer, in October, Rampage will be live up until Full Gear. Well, we'll see what the cards are. I'm not planning on reviewing Rampage this week. And whether the show is live or not, I will judge it based on the card they set up, whether or not I even bother reviewing it. It has to be interesting enough for me to review it. They've got a lot of work to do to make that show important enough for me to want to watch. Rampage has really, really fallen. I don't want to say that it's not fun. There are weeks where there's some good matches and it can be fun, but it's just a completely insignificant show. And the numbers continue to fall. You know, fewer and fewer people are watching it. So Tony Khan is going to try to build it back up. I hope he does. He can try. But I don't think I'm going to be reviewing it this week. Brian Blair. What did Moxley say about Kevin Dunn again? I did not hear it the first time.
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
That's what he said. Say it again so the whole room can hear you.
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
There you go. I think he can say it in multiple languages, but he's not very fluent in the other ones. Marcus the Entertainer. Did you know Friends was a ripoff of Living Single? No, I did not. Food Hive, I love Living Single. Greatest theme song for TV. Well, that would be the Jeffersons. That would not be Living Single. It would be the Jeffersons. Maroa, 12004. What's your thoughts of the video packages hyping the matches for tonight and Friday's Rampage? I like it better than just two guys fighting for no reason. Well, what do you mean by video packages hyping the matches for tonight? Are you talking about something like the Hook training video? That's for next week. I thought that was good, but I don't know. What specific videos are you referring to? But, you know, any videos like that they do, I think, are a positive. Joseph Brooks, I thought of a way to get rid of the 24/7 belt. What if Sammy wins that and acts like it's a great thing and shows the bloodline that he has gold, and Jay scolds him and takes the belt and throws it away? Yeah, I'm going to talk about it on Sunday, but the only acceptable usage of the 24/7 championship, now that all the other members of the bloodline have gold, would be to somehow get that title on Sami Zayn. I would accept that, because Sammy can make that work. Sammy can make that work. And in the context of the top program in the company, that belt would finally serve a purpose, which is to get gold on Sami Zayn so he does not feel left out. There is a lot of comedy potential with Sami Zayn holding that title. And then ultimately, at the end of that, when it's time for him to no longer have the 24/7 title, then you can have Jey Uso destroy the belt, and then we never have to see it again. That is the only acceptable usage of the 24/7 title, would be in the hands of Sami Zayn. Joseph says, buy or sell, what was the better story that WWE did not plan but ended up having to do? It was better when they won the title. What? I don't know what you're saying here. Let me reread this. What was the better story that WWE didn't plan but ended up having to do? It was better when they won the title and their run after winning. Daniel Bryan or Batista? Batista. I would say Batista. The Daniel Bryan moment was much better. I was in the stadium for WrestleMania 30, one of the all-time great WrestleMania moments. But Batista went on this great run as champion, and they created this new main eventer. When Bryan won the title, he got hurt, and he didn't have any kind of a real run with it. He won the championship, and that's where he peaked. And then after that, he got hurt, and he had to go away. So for that reason, I would say Batista. Boy, that was a challenging super chat to try to decipher there. I don't know what happened. Maybe his keyboard went on the fritz. Maroa. Neapolitan pizza is better than Chicago and New York City combined. I don't know what that is. Neapolitan pizza? Rizzo, we may see the end of Cornette if the Young Bucks, Orange Cassidy, Omega, and this pizza man are in the ring at the same time. I think he may spontaneously combust. Lakers Pats, Taker is proud hearing of those NXT Coke parties. Right? When men were men. That's what The Undertaker would say. When men were men. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, in my opinion, Vacant should be PWI's number one wrestler of the year. He's been winning titles and injuring wrestlers left and right. 2022 is his year. I think Vacant should absolutely be at least in the top 10. He doesn't get the recognition that he deserves. King Bling Blah, buy or sell or rent. Luigi Primo versus Orange Cassidy, Danhausen or MJF. I think Luigi Primo would be a nice addition. Could be a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'll just buy on MJF. How about that? Anti-M Bishop, Hog 924, Penta versus Low-Key. Coming via the House of Glory Instagram. Well, there it is. There it is. He's got his opponent, Penta and Low-Key. September 24th, NYC Arena in New York. Come to Jamaica, Queens. Say hello to the Solemn Monster and watch Penta and Low-Key. September 24th. Or you can watch it on Fight TV. Spicy Dried Chicken, it was Vince McMahon shapeshifting as Tony Khan tonight like Shang Tsung. Bob the Builder, that CM Punk sign. Oof. We've got Amiibo Guru with the $5 super chat. Going to the Mets game Saturday and Grand Slam on Sunday. Hope to do this every year. Going to be a great show. Oh, and Cowboys suck. That is from Amiibo. Amiibo says, Grand Slam on Wednesday, I mean. LOL. Cowboys suck. He had to get that second Cowboys suck in. Had to make sure. That's like his email signature. It's at the end of every message. Louis the Rhythm Paradise, your first video, a recap of each Mania, was great. That is a legitimate video, by the way. And I think it's the first video on this YouTube channel. I did that many, many years ago. Many, many years ago. I think I did two parts, didn't I? I think it was actually two parts. MizFan2598 says, hey Solo, I'm studying for an exam, but wanted to drop by, say thank you for the streams, and have fun at Grand Slam. Well, Ms. Fan, he is also a channel member. Thank you very much. It's very kind of you. I appreciate that. King Bling Blah, and good luck on your exam, by the way. You didn't say what it's an exam for. Is it a, is it an English exam? Are you taking the bar exam? Getting a prostate exam. What kind of exam exactly are you? Well, I guess you wouldn't be studying for a prostate exam. Maybe you would be. I don't know. Teach their own. King Bling Blah, will you ever make an all-celebrity be the booker? Probably not, no. I weave some celebrities in there that have been on wrestling television before, and some who haven't. But I don't really have an interest in doing it all. That's a lot of work. Put together one of those Be the Booker animations. I've made those. It's a lot of work the way that I do them. I don't have time for this. Ed Swoggle, buy or sell Ghostbusters versus Ninja Turtles. Oh boy. Young Solomon Monster would have to go with Ninja Turtles. Maroa, I feel the trios would have been better as a tournament. They did have a tournament. Did you miss the entire month of Dynamites? They had an entire tournament to crown Trios champions. Hey, look, it's Drew McInluger on our screen. Beowulf says he thinks he's going to skip that exam. Hey, when you're over 40, you better make sure you go get checked. We've got Tripod, $5 super chat. Can we get a Solomonster doing his taxes sign next week? We'll probably just take it away from you. Also, love the name drops of Living Single Martin and In Living Color. You're all right, Solo. I'm with it. What can I say? I used to watch Soul Train sometimes, too. Can you picture young Solomonster watching Soul Train? Eating soul food? Bob the Builder, yet again. Check the Rampage. Spoilers, interesting matches set for Grand Slam. Well, they'll have to add some other ones. If with any luck, they will announce something for FTR, at least. HBKC83. Could there be a Combat Club breakup in the plans for the near future after the next after next week's main event? I hope not. I wouldn't do that. Rizzo, does your brother wonder why this Moxley fellow hates Kevin Dunn? No, I don't really, I don't think he cares much. Moroa, with Rampage's ratings down and the AEW roster being bloated, along with Ring of Honor's wrestlers, is it time to float the idea of a brand split in AEW? I've been asked this question a bunch of times before. I have no interest in a brand split in AEW. Just do a better job of rotating talent in and out of the shows. I don't think there is a need for a brand split. I have no stomach for another brand split in wrestling. Love Lie. Is there any advice you can give me for my public speaking class? My nerves got the better of me and my first speech went south. Oh, I know that feeling. That was one of the classes that I took, in fact, in college. I took a public speaking class as somebody who was not a very big fan of speaking in public. And I can remember one of the speeches I had to give in front of the class, one of the topics that I came up with that I chose was about Jesse Ventura. And I did an entire speech on Jesse Ventura, the wrestler turned governor of Minnesota. And I probably still have it somewhere. I kept a lot of those old college papers. But it was a regular size room. It wasn't like a big auditorium or anything like that. It's a regular size classroom. And so there were probably 20 people maybe in the room, and I had to get up in front of that podium, and you know, I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm nervous as all hell when I did the first speech. The Ventura one, I think, was the fourth one. I had to do four over the course of the semester, and the Jesse Ventura one was the final one that I did. And by the time I got to the final one, and maybe because part of it was wrestling and I was more comfortable talking about it, noticeable improvement. So my only advice to you is you have to force yourself to do it. When you've done it, the more you do it, the repetitions that you get, you'll get more comfortable at it. I promise you. It really just, it comes with repetition and experience and, you know, figuring out what works and what doesn't. Some people don't know what to do with their hands. If you're by a podium, it's a lot easier because you can just grip the podium, right? You want something to hold. And a podium, if the podium is there, it's easy. You grab the sides of the podium. But people, they don't know how to sit or stand or where to look. Their eyes are darting all over the place, or they look down at the floor. You gotta figure it out on your own, but you gotta get up in front of an actual audience and do it. I would suggest doing it in front of family, doing it in front of friends, you know, people that you know that you're comfortable with. If you want to even try out a speech that you're gonna do, they could tell you, that doesn't work, take that out. That's the best advice I can give you. Nothing I can really say is better than just getting up in front of a crowd and doing it. And, you know, just trying to face your fear, and eventually it will come more naturally to you. That's how it worked for me. Just got to do it. Like Nike. Just do it. Just do it. I give people the same advice when they ask me about, you know, the podcast. Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm nervous when I do it, even if it's not live, I'm still nervous and my voice sounds really timid. So did mine. I go back and listen to some of those early episodes. Like, some of our Sound of Channel members, if you're on the Legends tier, you guys have access to the first 13 episodes of the show that I ever did. Those are up already. I have to work on all the rest. But the first 13 episodes are up from 2007 into the beginning of 2008. Go back and listen to those first few episodes I did and my voice. And you can hear how timid I am. I cringe. I hate going back and listening to that. Compare my voice then to the way my voice is today. And that's over the course of 15 years. It won't take you 15 years to find your voice, but practice. That's it. Practice and repetitions. Rizzo, with the $10 super chat. I apologize to you in the chat for all of my questions, but I was thinking about this today. What about Sheamus being the one to take the belts off of Roman? He is extremely over right now. And his second part of his super chat. And I know he is involved in the Intercontinental picture, but maybe WWE should switch plans. Am I nuts or am I on to something? He is very over right now. I do think you're a little nuts. I don't think that Sheamus should be the one to take the belts off of him. And I think they should stay the course and have Sheamus be the one to take the Intercontinental title from Walter at WrestleMania. So do a six-man tag again with the Brawling Brutes and Imperium at Extreme Rules, and then move away from that for a while. Come back around to it. I laid it all out on Sunday. In the Royal Rumble match, Sheamus and Walter, they either eliminate each other or one eliminates the other. Sheamus could eliminate Walter. And then Walter or all three members of Imperium pull him out of the ring, and that brings it right back around to the two of them. It kicks things off for WrestleMania season. Sheamus gets his moment in L.A., wins the championship, the one title that has eluded him his entire career. If he's as over then as he is now, imagine the reaction that he'll get. Put on another fucking banger of a match between those two, have Sheamus go over and be the one to dethrone Walter. It's perfect. I would not want to do anything to interrupt that story. But don't forget, Sheamus is also 44 years old, going on 45 with spinal stenosis. And I don't know how much longer he plans on doing this. So to have him be the one to beat Roman and dethrone Roman and be in that top spot, I don't see that as being realistic. Walter in the Intercontinental title, I think that's fine. That's a moment. But to make Sheamus the guy, I don't think that is something that I would do. That's not what I would do. We've got Love Lie. By the way, PNB Rock was a rapper that got killed recently. I figured he might have been a musician, but I wasn't entirely sure. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm not familiar with his music, but I am sorry to hear that. Firepanda 007, thank you for the $2. Corona Boy. Someone mentioned it earlier. What happened to the call-ins? Well, you must have been gone for a while. We haven't had the call-ins in probably a year and a half. People complained they didn't like them. They would tune out, so we stopped doing it. Occasionally, I will do an all call-in show for channel members. It's been a little while. We'll probably get back to that. The Better Call Saul shows. Right now, that's an occasional perk for channel members. At some point, I might bring back calls. It's a pain in the ass because I have to get everything set up. I can't just, like right now, I can't just be like, all right, cool, let's take calls. It has to be set up. I have to dial in. It's a pain in the balls. But at some point, maybe we'll bring back some calls. But everybody was just complaining about it and the quality of the calls. And I got tired of hearing about it. Moroa, Neapolitan is the original pizza from Naples. Temjin Zephyr, to clarify, I meant, what was your strategy to defeat Pac since you are Orange Cassidy? Oh, yeah, it's a good thing you clarified that. I have no idea that's what you meant. What is my strategy to defeat Pac? I mean, if it were me, I would grab a foreign object and I would hit him in the fucking head with it. I'd grab a wrench and hit him in the head and I would pin him. That's what I would do. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, my super chat got the stream cut off for a second. Too bad Tony Khan did not do the same with Punk. Looks fine on my end. Is that what happened? Everything looks good on my end. Anybody else having any issues? Turtlehead, love all you do, but will you feel like the cop at the end of The Usual Suspects when you realize that it was all a work? Don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people, Turtlehead. EJ Slam, tonight at work, I almost saw people get into fistfights at a Park District board meeting. So it is not just wrestlers and fans who fight over nothing. Toby Flanagan with the $2 super chat. Loved your mom's book and your channel. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You can check out The Adventure of Hardy the Horse. There are copies available on Amazon.com. Leave a review. Anthony Remy, are they doing a double Rampage taping? 7 to 12 again. What do you mean double Rampage? As far as I know, I mean, they're doing Dynamite and then Rampage right after. 10 to 11:30, I would imagine. It's not really 10 to 12 if you factor out the commercial breaks. But no, I mean, beyond taping a two-hour Rampage after Grand Slam, I'm not aware of them doing a double taping. We've got EJ. That Ambrose segment from Sunday made me think how different his life could have been. Who knows if he debuts with AJ, maybe he marries her instead. I thought about that too. You know, when I talked about the other creative pitch that was made for him before the Shield idea, it was going to be AJ Lee when she got married, or she was going to be married to Bryan Danielson on TV. He would have had her committed to a mental institution. She would have gotten out of the institution with her new boyfriend, which would have been Dean Ambrose. And who knows? Yeah, maybe the two of them would be a married couple. That's how things work sometimes. Triple H and Stephanie started working together on TV. They got married. Maybe Dean Ambrose and AJ would be a couple now. Maybe Renee Young would be married to CM Punk. Maybe the whole world could be different. Juan Ocampo won a $500 giveaway from Pat McAfee's show. Here's some for you. If a Be the Booker match completely sucks, can we get the buzzer with laughter? If not, for me at least. Well, we'll see. I don't have that effect set up for that particular scene, so it wouldn't be tonight. Daddy-O, and congrats, by the way, on that. If that's true, that's awesome. You want a giveaway from Pat McAfee's show. Daddy-O, Solomonster, do you blaze the ganja? I do not blaze the ganja. No, I do not. Hey, Cactus, thank you for the sub. Solomonster has never blazed the ganja. Spicy dried chicken, I see, although I will say, before I get to that, at the last House of Glory show at Terminal 5 last month, we had the Grim Reefer was in one of the matches on the show. And, you know, JD and I, we were up on the second level doing commentary, and the ring was down below on the main floor. And in the middle of the match, the Grim Reefer was lighting up, and we got a contact high, like legit got a contact high just by sitting all the way up there. So, the Solomonster has gotten contact ties before, but no, he has not blazed the ganja. But Grim Reefer did get me a little lightheaded last month at Terminal 5. Spicy says, I see WWE offering Private Party a sweet deal. They may offer them a deal. I don't think it'll be all that sweet. Rizzo, completely forgot that he is 45. That is why you are doing the podcast and I am watching. Now you're getting it. See, Rizzo gets it. Rizzo's a smart guy. And Ricky Edmond with the $5 super chat. May not be the summer of Punk, but he was still the most talked about in the summer. Well, that he was. He did get talked about a lot this summer. JM with the $50 super chat bomb. Dropped it right in my lap. Look at this guy. Says, for tennis, there is not really a bad seat in Arthur Ashe Stadium. Maybe you'll tell us how that translates for wrestling next Thursday. We are living single. And in a 90s kind of world, I'm glad I got my girls. Living single. Yeah, I have not been to Arthur Ashe, like I said earlier, but I think that even for a wrestling show, there's probably not really a bad seat in the house, I would imagine. But yeah, I will give you guys the full rundown on the review, which will be next Thursday. Not next Wednesday, because I will be at the stadium and probably will not be getting home until very late. So that's why we are pushing it back by 24 hours. But JM, much like KD earlier in the night, JM and KD, they should be a tag team. Dropping $50. Tamara says, Arthur Ashe sucks, can't lie. Well, why do you say that? Have you been there? Why does Arthur Ashe suck? Sean D., any chance that you're such a fan of the horror genre because you're named after a horror icon? Also, are you doing okay today? I'm doing fine. No, I mean, it's not because I share the name of one of the most infamous slashers of all time. I mean, that's very cool. But no, I was a fan of the horror genre. I would be a fan of the horror genre regardless. In fact, I'm very much looking forward to exactly 1 month from today. Today is September 14th. And at least for 5 more minutes it is. October 14th is Halloween Ends. We are 1 month away from Halloween Ends. Very exciting. Of course, always around the Halloween season, we get festive with the layouts for all the streams for the entire month of October. So I'm very much looking forward to the month. I look forward to October every single year. We're only a few weeks away. Ricky Edmond, Superstar of the Year in 2007 in WWE. And who is the number one superhero of all time? Superhero of all time. I mean, I would go Batman. Superstar of the Year in 2007. I don't know. 2007, who would be the Superstar of the Year? I would probably have gone, was that WrestleMania 23? Trying to think, like SummerSlam, Survivor Series, all the big events. Is there anybody that really no one person really stands out to me, honestly. 2007? I might go with The Undertaker. I feel like Undertaker was at his physical peak around 2006 and 2007. He won the Royal Rumble that year. He had that very good World Heavyweight title match with Batista at WrestleMania 23. Yeah, but then he got hurt, so then he was gone. I don't remember how much time he made. He probably missed a good chunk of the year. Right? Because it was right after that, I think. Was it around that April or May when he got hurt with the bicep? I don't know. I might go with Undertaker. Food Hive. I saw Food Hive pop in with a message, and he says, I cooked a jerk steak with roasted shrimp and garlic mashed potatoes for this 10 out of 10 baddie tonight, and showed her a true house of glory. Food Hive, impressing the ladies. I would think that that's a quality women look for. If you can cook a good meal. Food Hive knows the way to a woman's heart. You'll cook for her. I mean, you'll get whatever you want. Food Hive knows. Evan Watson, will you be watching Clerks 3? Probably not. I haven't seen Clerks 2. I don't even know if I saw Clerks, now that I think about it. Ray Wrighton, who I would hope to see on the 24th back at Hog. I loved that Grim Reefer. Yeah, she was there. She probably smelled it. I saw Ray at the last House of Glory show. That whole building stunk after he was lighting up there in that suicidal six-way. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, what happened to Halloween Begins? I'll leave. Yes, you should. You should leave. James Gruesome. Oh, I love that name. Speaking of Halloween, James Gruesome with the $4.99 super chat. Sean D., what is your favorite bad Halloween movie? So there are bad Halloween movies, and then there are Halloween movies that I guess I kind of like in a way. If we're talking specifically the Halloween franchise, like Halloween Resurrection or whichever one had Busta Rhymes was just fucking sucked. There was nothing to like about that. But I enjoyed the Halloween movies that had Danielle Harris in the role that that she played. So part four and part five. I guess that would qualify. They weren't really great Halloween movies, but I enjoyed them. And AMC usually shows them as part of their Fear Fest every year. I smoke a lot of weed. Oh, look at this. We got the Grim Reefer in the chat. Are you the Grim Reefer? $1.99. What if Cena and Batista were never switched? Or never switched brands in 2005. So Batista would have been on Raw. Cena would have stayed on SmackDown. I think things would have ended up pretty much the way they did. I don't really see that changing much as far as their overall careers. Cena still would have been the guy. And eventually he would have been moved over to Raw because Raw was always Vince McMahon's baby, so. I really don't think it would have made that much of a difference. Yeah, H2O. That's, you know, Halloween H2O was not a terrible movie. So yeah, you can say that. All right, let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
We hit the goal. The goal was 500 likes, and you guys blasted past it. In fact, I think we are closing in. Let me take a look here. We are indeed. We're closing in on 600. Let's see if you can get me to 600 before we get out of here tonight. But let's be the Booker. Book a few matches here before we get on out of here. Kick things off here with the men's version of Be the Booker. And we begin tonight with the former AEW World Champion, Hangman Adam Page, or as CM Punk calls him, the empty-headed dumb fuck, Hangman Adam Page. Sounds a little harsh. Hangman Adam Page doesn't like taking advice from the veterans in wrestling. He doesn't need it. Let's see if he ends up taking on a veteran here and be the Booker. Hangman Adam Page is going to have to take some advice from the phenomenal AJ Styles. And if he does take advice from AJ Styles, then he will learn a lot. Because AJ Styles is one of the very best. So a fine way to open up Be the Booker here tonight on this Dynamite stream. On the ladies' side, we have Nikki Bella. I couldn't hit that button fast enough. Could not hit that button fast enough. All the Nikki Bella fans now are going to be angry with me. I don't give a shit. I really don't give a shit. Let's see who she's going to face. Nikki Bella will go one-on-one with Terry Runnels. I got to give it the double buzzer. Not very often that happens. The double buzzer to Nikki Bella and Terry Runnels. The less said about that, the better. Let's move on to the tag teams. And on the tag team front, we begin with father and son, Sting and Darby Allin. Look at that. Sting looks like Darby, he just did something wrong. He just set one of the neighbor's kids on fire, and Sting is looking at him with that very disapproving look on his face. Looks like he's taking his kid out trick-or-treating, right? That's what that looks like. We're just talking about Halloween. Sting and Darby Allin. Let's see. They're going to be taking on Kane and Daniel Bryan. Team Hell No against Sting and Darby. Definitely a television main event. Absolutely. We're trying to book main events here. We're trying to book attractions. Sting and Darby against Daniel Bryan and Kane is an attraction. So there you go. Two out of three ain't bad and be the booker. I'd call that a good night. We've had a pretty good week in Be the Booker. I think we did well the other night, too. So not bad at all. Not bad at all. We have got more Super Chats here before we get out of here. We have got... I smoke a lot of weed. We already talked about him. We talked about, no, we didn't. Dr. Dakota Scorpio has one here. Jason in Space is still the best bad horror. Oh, you know what? I forgot about that. Yes. I forgot about that. Jason in Space. You know what? I have said this before. Jason in Space, there's a recreation of a death scene, an earlier kill in one of the, I think it was part 7, maybe the sleeping bag kill. But the best kill in the entire Friday the 13th series, out of all the movies, is actually in the Jason Goes to Space, Jason X. And it was the scene where he freezes the woman's face and then pulls her up and then smashes her face. I just think that's such a clever scene. And out of all the kills in all the movies, and he slices and dices and chops people's heads, all the horrible things he does to people in all these movies, that to me still stands out as the best kill in all the movies. So if nothing else, that movie at least has the greatest kill scene out of all the Friday the 13th films. Yeah, just type it in on YouTube. I'm sure it's on there. The face freeze scene, Jason X, it'll come right up. Alex Jimenez, Regal's harlot comment killed me during the Moxley match. What is your favorite Hogan lie, brother? That's like Jim Ross calling them Jezebels. But, my favorite Hogan lie. I mean, my God, there's so many to choose from. There's so many of them. There's so many of them. I feel like I'm going to leave out some of the best ones. My God, what's my favorite Hogan lie? He told a ridiculous one once when he was recapping the Montreal Screwjob, and he said that Shawn Michaels pinned Bret Hart to the mat or something like that. Like, just some complete nonsense where he completely butchered what the actual finish to that match was. But the one that always gets me with Hogan, and you've heard the one about Metallica, the lie he told about that, or... You know, Darren Aronofsky wrote the movie The Wrestler and wanted him to be the lead role, and then Aronofsky had to say that is 100% false. Hogan tells the story that one year when he was at his peak and he was traveling all over the world, he once, what did he say? Was it like he either traveled or he worked like 400 days that year when you factor in the time zone difference between him going back and forth from Japan to the U.S., that he actually worked 400 days. That's one of the better ones. The Foreman Grill, yes, the Foreman Grill one. The SummerSlam 92 Wembley one. I mean, we could be here all day. We could be here all day. I love it. I love it. He's just a babbling brick of bullshit. It's so entertaining. Food Hive, Busta Rhymes karate kicked Michael Myers out of a window and lived to tell the tale. As a black man, that was impressive. But as an adult, it was shit. Tripod horror movie pitch. A young lion pisses off Minoru Suzuki. What are your thoughts? Minoru Suzuki, as the lead in a horror movie, is a definite buy. If you're going to do buy or sell, I would definitely buy on that. Mark Kwan, Bella Army against the Liv Army. Oh, the Liv Army can't compare. Are you kidding me? The Bella Army would crush the Liv Army. But what? Here's the better question. When the Bella Army crushes the Liv Army, what happens when the Sasha Stans come in? And then the Sasha Stans go toe-to-toe with the Bella Army. I think the entire world, like World War III, I think the entire world would just cease to exist. It'd be like a nuclear explosion. Sean D., have you all ever noticed how Darby looks like the singer Sting? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. If you put him in the dryer, maybe. Winter's Paw, thoughts on Quincy's debut? I thought it was fun. I watched NXT. I saw Quincy. I mean, there wasn't much to it. It was very quick. He does Yokozuna's finish, even though he's not nearly as big as Yokozuna. That's literally the only match of his that I've seen. I know he's wrestled on the NXT Level Up show. I haven't seen any of his work before this week. I can't say that I was impressed, but I've also just seen one two-minute match. So the jury is still out on Quincy Elliott. I don't really have any thoughts beyond that. Ricky Edmond, why do you not like Freddy Krueger? I just never really got into it. I was never really a fan of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I've seen a couple of them, but I was a lot more into Jason and Michael than I was Freddy. And I don't hate Freddy. I watched Jason versus Freddy. That was a fun movie when that came out all those years ago. I was just never really a Freddy Krueger guy. Rocky Road, just dropping some love. Thank you for all that you do. Rocky Road, thank you. Thank you, sir. Spicy Dried Chicken. Nikki Bella versus Terry, a 7-star match in my room. Remind me to never visit your room. Darth Paddock, best Jason death is punching the boxer's head off. No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, that was a good one. That was from Jason Takes Manhattan in Part 8. That is not the best. That is not the best. The face freeze scene is the best. We've got, I smoke a lot of weed. I still can't believe when I first saw his name pop up. I was thinking he was named after like a coffee or something. I'm like, Ice Mocha. I'm like, oh, I feel like a schmuck. Top of your head, how would you have booked them leading to WrestleMania? Batista does not get injured. What does 2005, early 2006 look like if never traded? I got to be honest with you. I only vaguely remember that period of time. I don't recall exactly what was going on, what the rosters looked like at that moment. So I guess that was when Eddie passed away. Eddie passed away in November of 05. And there was a belief that he was going to go heel and maybe even win the world title, which we've since learned was never the plan. The plan was for Randy Orton to win the championship at the SmackDown taping that night, because they were taping SmackDown that night for some reason. It was a Sunday. And Eddie wasn't going to win the belt. It was going to be Randy. I think that they probably would have done something with Batista and Eddie. But then there was also a rumor that they might have done Eddie Guerrero and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 22. Eddie and Shawn, I think that would have been great, even though Eddie was already beyond his physical prime. This was not the same Eddie Guerrero from just a few years earlier. But I still think it would have been a very good match. So, yeah, it would have been either Batista and Shawn Eddie and Batista or Eddie and Shawn. And if they would have done Eddie and Shawn, as far as what Batista does, I don't know who was left on the brand, on that brand that he was on. I mean, who else would have made sense for Batista, if not Eddie? I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know. Maybe Orton. Food High, Freddy Krueger shoved a woman's head into the TV and said, "Welcome to primetime, bitch." Classic. And I loved Robert Englund's cameo in Stranger Things as the season was based on Nightmare on Elm Street. He did have a cameo in the most recent season. Ricky Edmond, I want you to watch and review the Nikki Bella and Stephanie rivalry for I could laugh my butt off. Well, wasn't it Brie? I thought that Rivals episode was Stephanie and Brie, and no, I am not going to watch it. Tripod, speaking of Terry, is Meat the worst name ever? Meat? It's probably one of the worst. Probably. But there have been a lot of bad names over the years. I can't honestly sit here and tell you it was the worst. I'm sure there have been other names that were actually worse than Meat. Miguel says, Gran Metalik at the AEW Dark tapings. That is not a surprise to me. If you remember, I said this when he got released from WWE. I said, keep an eye out for him because Bryan Danielson once said that he wanted to work a match with Gran Metalik. We may end up getting a match with Danielson and Gran Metalik if he wants to work with him. And now Metalik is appearing at the Dark tapings. If what he said is correct, we could eventually get a Danielson Metalik match as a one-off. I know he was a big fan of his work. So I think we're all caught up on your super chats. One last look at the poll. Over 1,000 votes in so far. 64% thumbs up and 23 in the middle, 12% thumbs down. Follow me on Solomonster, especially next week. I will be attending the Grand Slam show, and I'm sure I'll be tweeting from there. And I'll keep you guys posted if there are any updates as far as the live Dynamite stream that I do. It will be next Thursday, probably 8 p.m. Eastern. If not, it'll be 8 or 9. It'll be somewhere around there. So at Solomonster on Twitter, follow me on there. Hit the subscribe button. We are oh so close to 71,000. Get me to 71K. We're so close. I need your help to do it. Cassio Black, here's an idea, scary movie. Watch along for Halloween. Maybe. We're definitely going to do a watch-along, though, October 5th. That's the 25-year anniversary of the very first Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, the debut of Kane. That will be on, I think it's Wednesday, October 5th. And we'll follow the same format as last time. The actual watch-along will be open for everyone, but it will be members only in the chat. And that's where I'm doing most of the interaction is with all of our channel members. So that'll be October 5th. That's going to be a big one. 25 years to the day of that classic Shawn Michaels Undertaker Hell in a Cell match. Food Hive, never forget on Heat, it was Beaver Cleavage versus Meat. They had Meat on Heat. That's right. That's right. And I think Beaver Cleavage, I think he beat Meat. I think he beat Meat on Heat. Attitude Era indeed. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. This has been very fun. Thank you for all of the support tonight. I thought a very good episode of Dynamite to lead into what hopefully will be a blow-away fantastic show next week because I'll be there. So that'll be very interesting to see what wrestling in that venue is going to be like and who walks out with the championship. Hopefully it's Bryan Danielson. He's my pick. He's the one who I'd like to see walk out with that title. We're going to be live here on Friday night for SmackDown. Probably not going to cover Rampage. I may change my mind, but right now I'm leaning towards SmackDown only. We'll see. Either way, I will be live on Friday night, no matter what. And please don't forget to go check out UpNXT. Type UpNXT, all one word in YouTube. You'll see their channel come up. It's part of the Post Wrestling Network. I was part of a year in review roundtable. Myself and Denise Salcido with the hosts, with Braden and Davey. And that's up right now in case you missed it. Thank you to them for inviting me on. That was a lot of fun. And I will see you guys on Friday night. Thank you for all the likes. Thank you for all the love. And we'll do it all again for SmackDown. It's come on back. I'll see you guys then. Take care.